Today, the Bible reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, and that can be found on page 1005, and not the question mark on screen. So page 1005, if you want to follow that with me, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. And this is the parable of the seed and the sower, a key that Jesus used to help people understand more about God. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil, and so it sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. And we give thanks to God for the reading of his word to us today. Transforming Scotland. That's the title of a survey undertaken during the past year. And last week, I found out more about its findings. It concerns the state of Christianity and of faith throughout the church or churches in Scotland, all based on research which suggests what the spiritual temperature might be across our land. For those gathered, there was mixed response. Yes, there were new insights gained. There was encouraging statistics and an equally encouraging affirmation about the importance of the Christian faith and of the church from the perspective of others. But there was also a sense in which younger generations feel disconnected and unrelated to what they regard as being religion, extending into the adult population as well. And so there were a mixture of findings. On the one hand, 17% of the population say that they've accepted Jesus as Saviour and have made a personal commitment to him, a surprisingly high figure. Yet 61% say that faith is of little importance in day-to-day life. And it seems that 70% of 18 to 24-year-olds would not consider attending church at all. Quite what we make of this research is another matter. But one thing it did do was point towards ways in which ministry can become transformative, enabling churches to be better equipped and more able at being relevant. Despite this, there was one point of controversy. Amongst many things, the survey suggested that expository preaching was a significant means of communicating the gospel today. In other words, the method of detailing the precise meaning of a text or passage of scripture in its original context. A style of preaching that has been known and revered in some Christian circles in the past, yet which perhaps is not practiced as it once was. For myself and many ministers, there was surprise as we seek to relate to people today, making the form of communication paramount as well as the content. That's not to say that the truth of the Bible is not presented. It's just that it's increasingly presented in ways that are accessible and comprehensible, all with encouragement for practical application as opposed to intellectual stimulation alone. And so, like many of the ministers I was with, I suspect there has been some reflection on what was suggested. And for me, that reflection has coincided with Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, words which we heard read earlier. Jesus often spoke in parables, a way of setting a spiritual truth alongside an everyday truth of life and living. And this particular parable of the seed and of the sower would seem to fit the example of expository preaching. For after the parable is shared, the explanation is given. And that's where the seed used is related to the words of God. And so when we read of the seed sown on different types of ground, certain assumptions are made. Firstly, the word of God needs to be made known as widely as and as often as possible. True. Secondly, that different people respond in different ways to that message. True. And that certain people respond more favourably to God's message, causing them to, in turn, to embrace the Christian faith, making it known all the more. Again, true. And so the word is rightly given prominence, prompting an ever-increasing desire to know it more, to know it better, and to know the minutiae of it all so that it can be honoured and expounded all the more. But in Jesus' parable, as much emphasis is placed on the soil as the seed. And so the ground conditions become important also. More than that, the parable can also be understood as describing one person, not simply four. And that person could be you or me. Which means that the parable of the seed and the sower may surprise. For if it's heard and read in a particular way, then it suggests that people are predestined to respond in a particular way. Some lives will be like the pathway whose surface is hard and where the seed lies exposed, either to be blown away or trampled underfoot, or as the parable states, to be eaten by the birds. Other lives will be like ground where solid rock lies under a thin layer of soil, with no opportunity for roots to take hold. Or as the parable states, with no depth. Some more lives could be compared to a densely planted area, allowing little opportunity for fresh growth. Or as the parable states, where the new plant was choked, whilst other lives are described as being fertile, not just ensuring growth, but enabling a multiplication of that growth. Or, as the parable states, where the seed fell on good soil. But are our lives defined in such a way? It's true that no matter what, some people may never choose to believe in Christ. Yet the story of redemption reinforces that hope can be found. That the free will, which is ours to exercise, can determine our decision, our response and our reaction, and that every possibility will be made available for the effect of salvation to have its way. For if the parable relates to our life alone, then it's true of a time when there was a hardness that would not or could not be penetrated. A time when there was a shallowness that would not or could not support what was offered. A time when all kinds of other things would quickly extinguish what was given. As well as a time when all became clear as God's love, forgiveness and mercy came to be known. Changing the direction of life in the process for good for all who believe. In all of this, Jesus' words attracted many. He used everyday language and everyday examples, comparisons and analogies that people of his time understood. And although there was a deep truth, there was a depth of love which supported all that he said, making what he said tantalizing as well as true. In it all, there is a warning, but through it all, there is a message. It's that God loves us so much that he will pursue us with his love. It's that God loves us so much that he will continue with us with his love. And it's that God loves us so much that he will transform us with his love. For he understands our existence as well as our faith. He recognizes changing times and seasons in human life. He acknowledges that there will be periods when all is not well, when we are weak, confused, bewildered, frustrated, unwell, when the plans that we've made don't come to pass, and when bereavement cuts through to the very heart of our being. Yet despite that, the sower still sows in the parable. And Jesus said that we must give attention to what that means. Giving this parable a message for the church as well as its people today. For the emphasis is as much on our own lives as the word. On the soil as much as the seed. On what we hear as much as what is said. For usually the audience critiques the preacher. Yet in this parable, Jesus, the preacher, critiques his. Placing emphasis on the response rather than the preaching, which makes us all partners with God as we believe and as we receive from him, ensuring a partnership designed to reach out in every way, one that is fruitful, ensuring that each one of us can become more like Jesus, whilst enabling all manner of people to encounter Jesus for themselves. Which brings me back to that survey, Transforming Scotland, for the state of Christianity, faith and the church in Scotland can only be enhanced. And that can only happen when we recognise what God can do in us as well as through us, as we respond to who He is and what He says. That's the key for us all. He or she who has ears to hear, let them hear.